The next and last stop is
Atlantic Avenue, Barclays Center.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan. It's a lot of Nets podcast.
I mean, the only Net fans you know. The only Nets fans you know.
At least they've got some self-awareness.
I mean, come on, man. Or are these guys?
Welcome back to the Only Nets Fans You Know podcast. I'm Peter. I'm joined by my friend and fellow Nets confidant, Charlie.
Welcome back, Nets World. The time has come for Nets basketball once again. And, it's been a pretty 50-50 start so far.
Our working title is the Inconsistent Consistence. That's referring to the Nets play. Preseason, shaky. Blown out, great game. Regular season, more of the same.
Hit the nail on the head with that one, Pete. Great job.
All right. Our topics today, games 1 and 2, some problems we see on the roster. We're going to be talking about Nets players on some podcasts that recently came out, and we're going to be talking about the wrap-up. Regular season game one, Charlie. Let's go.
Wow. Where to start with this one, man? Big time L. That's where I could start with it. Basically, you had Kyrie coming out in the beginning of the game, making this big speech about free Brittany Griner and all that stuff. Got the political, got the Nets fans, we need you stuff. You got, we're going to work hard, all that jazz. And then the Nets just threw out biggest L. I didn't really kill Kyrie. He did play hard all game. But, you know, that's besides the point. The Nets took the L at 130-108. Basically, this was Zion's game and Valanciunas' game from the start.
Yeah, this was just a disaster getting killed on the inside. They were losing 32-14 after the first quarter. They got it close, 58-50 at the half. But pretty much New Orleans had this the entire game. Just a total disaster, shooting 30% from three and killed on the rebounds, 68-48. I don't think I've ever seen that.
Brutal, man. Oh, my God. Ugh. Same shit, different year. That's all I have to say. Man, it doesn't help when Ben Simmons has fucking fouls out. What? How many minutes did he play?
Not enough.
Jesus.
And he was a minus 26 on 4 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds. Kyrie didn't have a great game. 15 points, 5 assists, 0-for-6 from 3, 6-of-19 from the field. KD was the only hope, with 32 points.
We'll say this: Kyrie did hustle a lot this game, and he still was putting effort into it even during the Brew getting blown out. So I'll still give him credit for trying. But man, you got to come up a little better than that after coming up with a speech like that. Just saying, I'm not gonna get into it, but Jesus Christ!
What are the Pelicans' numbers?
Oh, do you fucking Zion Williamson, 25 points, 9 rebounds. God, CJ McCollum, 21 points. He didn't miss. It didn't seem like he missed. Valanciunas had a fucking field day, man. Double-double, 15 points, 13 boards. Anthony Ingram, 28 points, 7 rebounds, and 5 assists. I mean, the guys just ate us up. All their bigs ate us up, and CJ McCollum just torched us from everywhere else in the field. So, just a recipe for disaster. I will say this, though. Claxton had a nice game. He had a double-double, 13 points, 10 rebounds. And Royce O'Neal had 10 points, 7 rebounds, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. Royce has been great. I love these two guys so far in the first two games. Patty shot well. It's nice to see Patty putting 16 points up. But, man, Kyrie and Ben just had terrible nights.
Does it scare you that two games that he's already fouled out? You got the preseason game, of course.
Yes, it does. He's very aggressive. He's being very aggressive on defense. He's trying to overcompensate for his offense, in my opinion. Sometimes, in my opinion, in the first two games, he's looked pretty lost on offense. In a sense where, like, when he doesn't have the ball on his hands, he kind of just doesn't know what to do. He's kind of just trying to set screens, but sometimes they don't want screens. And know, it's a tough mix right now. You got to see. You got to start gelling soon. It's going to take a little while for that offensive flow to come. When he's a guy who's used to having the ball in his hands most of the time. In Philly, it was him and Embiid usually. Here you got Kyrie, Kevin, and you know you got more mouths to feed. So he can't be more ball dominant than these guys because these guys have been here longer. So on the offense, you got to start mixing him in there. I would start, in my opinion, I would start playing him less with the big three and more with more of duos, like feeding him with Kevin Durant for a few minutes and feeding him with Kyrie for a few minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Just the lack of shots, just like mind-boggling to me. But he did play a lot better game too.
Definitely, I agree, man. I mean, this was a much better game just from the get-go. I mean, these were two good teams. Let's not get that mixed up here. The Pelicans are a really good team. They were a playoff team last year. So the Raptors are also a hell of a team, Pete. They're also a playoff team. Nick Nurse is a great coach. So you know you're going to always get a hell of a game and a fight from them. So the Nets ended up pulling out a nice win, 109-105. However, this game was I shit you not. Like, you always say this, basketball is a game of runs. And this game, holy shit, what a game of runs. The Nets put a 12-0 run. The Raptors responds with a 14-0 run. And vice versa. You had that like three or four times. But the big key for me in this game, Nick Claxton has arrived, Pete. He's had absolutely his name everywhere in both of these games. Just, I mean, the guy has been great. What is he at, 13 blocks so far?
The team got 13 blocks, but he did get 19 points and 11 rebounds. Double-double. And I think he's answered a lot of questions. A lot of people are saying, can this guy play center for a championship team? I think he can. I really do.
I don't know, man. The free throws are still a big haunting thing for him, it seems like. But listen, his defense has gotten even better. He's been more aggressive on offense, and he's getting boards. And you know what? He looks bigger. He's definitely shown an improvement here. So I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. He's got to get better on the free throws. But so far, man, the guy has definitely been as advertised. And he's even taken he's taking full court fucking fast breaks up and just taking them to the house like he was doing in college. So, I mean, shit, the guy looks like he's playing in college again. It's good to see. The Nets, again, what did they have? The Raptors had 48 points in the paint this game, right?
Yeah, it was just crazy. The Nets had a big lead, wound up giving it up, and the fourth quarter they wound up coming back, thankfully, thanks to Kyrie, with 13 points in the fourth. But man, Siakam triple-double.
Just good.
37 points, 12 rebounds, 11 assists. The guy's just, he kills us. He's a fucking monster.
So does Van Vliet. 18 points for Van Vliet, 9 assists. Scotty Barnes, a potential net in the offseason, had 17 points. These guys are all good players. The Raptors are a good defensive team, man. This was a good win. This was a good response. This was a good respond game. And Joe Harris came back, which was we didn't talk about enough, Pete. Our boy Joe is back, albeit he only played 18 minutes and he only had 3 points. But when he hit that three-pointer, man, it felt good. It felt good to see him back there. We're not going to probably see him a lot so far. He's going to be in a limited role, I feel like, for the first couple of games. But you hope he can get back to game strength.
I was very happy he hit that first three, but I was expecting a little bit more. He had his best game, 27 points. Kyrie, like I said, big in the fourth quarter, 30 points, 7 assists, plus 22. Great, great, great game by Kyrie. Ben Simmons, definitely. 6 points, 8 assists, 10 rebounds. I was hoping he was going to get the triple-double, just missed it. He needs to shoot more, like I said before. He definitely needs to shoot more because he could be a walking triple-double every night.
Dude, Kyrie, a scary player, Pete. He's really scary. At times, he's the best player, offensive player in the NBA. He's even really good on defense. You really sleep on Kyrie's defense, but he's been playing pretty good defense. Yeah, he gets beat by some players because, yeah, he's not the biggest guy, and he's also probably not the best at he's quick, but you know what I mean? He gets beat on the first step, but he's got a good defensive IQ.
He's so underrated.
Very underrated. I feel like people don't talk about Kyrie's all-around game enough. But and he's such a gifted player when he's on. It's just like stuff he could do with the basketball is nuts. And if he just keeps this going, and what was it, the last two seasons, he's had historic paces for shooting. So if you can keep that going, man, sky's the limit for this team, in my opinion. But it does, I wouldn't say it all starts and goes with Ben Simmons, but Ben Simmons needs to anchor this defense, and Ben Simmons needs to stay in games. Having 6 points on offense and 5 points on offense, it's not acceptable. This guy needs to be a little more aggressive. He definitely put a Ben Simmons game up, for sure, almost a near triple-double, but he definitely looked a little more aggressive and more stable on defense, but still, man, he's got a lot of fouls. It's got to stop.
Yeah, one thing that I thought was really, really interesting, you had Keith playing 19 minutes, and you had Ben playing only 6 minutes in the fourth, and it looked like he wasn't even going to get back in. How do you feel about that? Do you think that's an issue, him not playing enough minutes in the fourth? Do you think maybe Nash was riding the hot hand? It's kind of weird to me. I don't know if that sends the right signal to Ben.
Yeah, man, that's a good question. Honestly, I think it's more of riding the hot hand. I think just Ben's not used to this offense yet. And like I was saying before, I think it relies on his ball dominance. And when he's not out there really touching the ball most of the time, he kind of gets lost right now. And basically he has to set a clear role for himself in the offense when he doesn't have the ball. So I think that's going to progress as the season goes on. Now, I want to talk about the clear and most important play of the game was Royce O'Neal when he iced the game. You think, hey, man, this guy shot, I don't know, 0-for-3 already. I don't know what he shot before he took that shot. But, man, Kyrie really trusted this guy by putting the ball back in his hands to make that shot. And you know what? Damn, man, that guy iced it. And Royce had a bad game offensively, in my opinion. 7 points.
Shot 2 of 7. And it's funny, he made 1-3, and that 1-3 was the game icing 3.
Sometimes that's all you need to win games, and sometimes that's all you need to get yourself going. So maybe this helps him. But again, his defense has been so good. So you need a guy like this. I'm so happy we have this guy. I really hope this guy can just put a couple of points. If he could put 10 to 15 points a night up on offense, think about what this guy can do on defense. And again, it still opens up the floor to these other guys to do work now that they can rely on him to hit a shot. It'd be nice to see if this guy can really come through for us.
Question, is Royce O'Neal a fan favorite already?
His defense alone, yeah. I think he's an upgrade from Bruce Brown.
Ooh, that says a lot. You're a big Bruce Brown guy.
I like Bruce Brown, but the guy, I mean, right in 2 games into the season, Royce O'Neal seems like he just molds a little better.
Brown actually had a 20-point game, but I definitely think the size thing was an issue that Royce O'Neal's a better fit by far.
I mean, I think Bruce Brown might be a better fit in Denver right now. But again, it's a shooting league, and Bruce Brown's not really much of a shooter, even though he definitely got a little better from three last year, and that's the saying something. But and I just think Royce O'Neal opens up the offense a little more because you can kind of rely on him to, I guess, stop people on defense, and having him and Ben out there and Clax in the starting lineup and letting KD and Kyrie work on offense. And if you just give these guys a supporting role, that sense, playing good defense, it creates more offense. You know what I mean? It always is like that. Look, Royce has done that in the last 2 games. He's gotten some turnovers, and that turned into instant offense. Same thing with Ben. These guys can do that. I think this team can go really far.
I agree. But I think there's 2 issues I think Net fans would agree. One would be the backup point guard. I'm still mulling over the backup point guard issue. The one that really bothers me has been the issue at center with the rebounding. I think that needs to be like cleared up sooner than later. We're one injury away from like a disaster. There's no depth on this team at center.
Yuta Watanabe.
Really though?
Not really. Joking. He's a good shooter. He's a good guy coming off the bench in blowouts, but And the guy can't. I mean, he's not big enough to play against guys at the NBA level in that sense, you know.
Yeah, just look at the numbers against New Orleans: 62 points in the paint given up 68 rebounds. You can't win that way. You can't win that way. Toronto, we won the game, right? Still, we gave up 48 points in the paint. It's clear if you're going to beat the Brooklyn Nets, the way to do it, go inside, get your offensive rebounds. The second chance points will be there for you. I just think maybe they don't need like a starting center, but they need someone, just a big body or just a rim protector. I know everyone says, oh, we need a stretch five. Yes, we do. But I don't know if that's available. I don't think so. What are you going to have to give up to get that? I think it would be easier if you go and you look at the free agent market where there are a couple rebounders available.
It's going to be tough because that Gobert trade is really going to fuck everything. Seriously, look, that trade basically, any chance of any big man out of the equation for the Nets in that sense. I mean, the Nets would have to gut everything basically to get someone. Who would you get in the free agent market right now? Anyone? Is there anyone in the free agent market that you see?
Well, I got a list, and I posed this question on Nets Twitter. Out of these couple of guys, like, who would you be interested in? Dwight is still a free agent. My boy, Ed Davis, is a free agent. Hassan Whiteside, Tristan Thompson, who the Nets were linked to earlier. DeMarcus Cousins, who everyone seems, Nets Twitter's pretty much excited if we would be able to get him. And Greg Monroe, former Net for a couple hours.
I don't know. I'd probably pick either between Ed Davis or Dwight Howard, but I lean towards Dwight Howard.
I would be happy with any of these three of Dwight, Ed, and DeMarcus. Ed is a little smaller, so I could kind of see people shitting on, you know, my take with that. But the thing is, if you need rebounds, this guy is a proven rebounder, and he hustles. This guy hustles every play. Like, if this lack of energy the Nets have been having at times, if you need someone to help with that, Ed Davis would be that guy. He's not going to score. Maybe that's good, right? Maybe we need guys who aren't going to take too many shots.
You know, grab the board and dump it out again. Take another three-pointer, Durant. You know, exactly. Like, you know, you'd rather have, you know, take – the whole theory is just take as many shots as you physically can during a game, and you're probably going to get more points, especially with guys like Durant and Kyrie on your team. Sure, that's a good theory. Got to hit them. You know, we've seen the Nets go, like, 3 of 30 from three-pointers in games. So, like, that's not – you'll still lose if you shoot 3 of 30 from three, I guarantee you, but still – that's the theory. So getting guys like Davis, Dwight Howard, but Dwight Howard will probably get those putbacks. Dwight Howard will go up for an alley-oop. So not the same player as he was, but I think Dwight Howard opens up the offense a little more, and he could shoot free throws a little better than most of these guys.
He slows down the offense a little bit, but you would get that rim protector. You add some size, and I don't think that'd be the worst thing in the world. The Nets do have some options. Let's say, I think this is exactly what Sean Marks is doing right now. He's looking at the roster. We know he's not going to act and do a quick move. He likes to look, and he likes to look into the numbers. He likes to examine stuff. He's going to look at the roster. If this trend of the rebounding continues, he may make a move, and he may add one of these guys. I think that's going to be the move, because if you have to cut someone, who are you going to cut? The roster's kind of tight right now.
Yeah, man, it's gonna be a weird move, but I mean, this is something glaring that we're gonna need soon, and it's not already. It's apparent for the first two games, and it just seems like the same problems from last year are just gonna rear its ugly head again and again. We improved. I think our perimeter defense has been really good. Regardless, I know the Pelicans kind of shot the lights out on us, but I still think we closed out a lot of shots, and I think the hustle in the perimeter is very good.
That's fair. That's fair. Anything else you want to add on this topic before we move on?
The free throws, man. The fucking free throws, Pete. I just got to emphasize the goddamn free throws. I'm tired of Claxton, Sharp, Simmons, all these guys just going to the line with no confidence and just going in there and just shooting ducks. I mean, we knew this was going to happen. We knew it. Claxton's 3 of 8 versus Toronto. That's brutal, man. Sharp is 0 for 2 versus Toronto. Simmons is 0 for 2. Versus New Orleans. I know it's not a lot of sample size right now, but you could see how these are going to pile up, and you could see where it's going to frustrate Net fans. And I'm just trying to – I want to rear its ugly head before it gets worse, and we kind of sound like a broken record. But, you know, it's going to happen, right?
Yeah, you know, De'Ron Sharpe was trusted with the backup center role, and against New Orleans, 1 of 8. Obviously not great. Like, we know he's not going to hit his free throws, even though he was 2 of 2 against New Orleans. We know that is going to be an issue with the offense, but can you trust him as the backup center? It's an issue for me. We know Ben is not going to shoot well from the free throw line. I was hoping that was going to be fixed, but I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't know, man. This is that's why it's 50-50, the inconsistent consistence, right? That's why the title is the title.
All right. Last word, or are you ready to move on?
Ready to move on, like always.
All right. So we had a couple of Nets doing some podcasts, joining some podcasts, doing some interviews. This kind of went under the radar, but I thought it was really interesting seeing Spencer Dinwiddie on Theo Pinson's podcast, which is Run Your Race. And they talked about like the D'Lo years, how they didn't realize how good that they were. Spencer talked about how the offense changed when he was in the game, when D'Lo was in the game. And my favorite part was he was talking about the first year when KD came back, and he thought the Nets should have won the championship that year. If you remember, one of the things he talked about, we beat Golden State by, I think it was like 26 points, almost 30 points on opening day. If Spence doesn't go down, man, that team would have been phenomenal. But of course we know what happened. Talks about the playoffs. Talks, you know, we almost beat the Bucks when everybody else was out. Just a very interesting interview. I love Spencer Dinwiddie. He's one of my favorite players. But man, it hurts. Everyone on the Nets kind of says the same thing. Blake has said this. KD has alluded to this, that they would have had a nice chance of winning the championship that year. And I feel like, I think that was our year to capitalize, and it just didn't happen.
Stop preaching to the fucking choir, man. You're making me fucking hurt. You're making me hurt real bad. Can you just move on with this? I can't. Can't do it. Can't do it.
All right, we had KD on the execs. I don't know if you want to talk about that one a little bit.
I went to therapy for this, Pete. Just fucking shoot me now.
KD on the execs. Like it? Don't like it?
Oh, KD, you're asking or telling? Because I thought you were asking. You're a teller, Pete. You have to tell people. You don't have to explain to me these things. You have to tell people these things. Basically, if you want me to explain to the people what KD wants to tell you, KD says he likes the new offense. KD always likes the new offense. I just feel like these guys put all these candid answers up when they talk about these things. You know, like, I like the new offense. You know, he thinks we need time to gel. The same shit. He wants to bottle the last two preseason games and kind of, you know, use that energy and put it towards the season because they played really well. My biggest and favorite takeaway from it was that he got a new dog and he called him Seven. I'm a big dog guy. Dogs are cool. You know, it's all the same generic candid stuff. You know, I want to hear like what he really feels, you know? Like, you know, Ben Simmons sucks ass, you know? I want to hear that stuff.
Yeah, you're not going to get that.
I know I'm not going to get it.
Kyrie actually did a little sit-down interview with Shams that I feel like came out of nowhere. I thought it was really interesting that he felt the Nets got better after the KD trade request. I guess he was referring to like all the bad juju leaving because everyone talked it out. He talked about how badly the injury was against the Bucks. Everyone thought that Nets were saying that he was going to come back. Apparently not. He thought like he broke like his damn ankle. That he thought this injury was going to like really set him down and he would have not come back. Very interesting how the Nets kind of put out a narrative that he would be back. In reality, he was way, way, way hurt more than we thought.
Yeah, man, I didn't think he was going to come back either. But, I mean, it was nice to have the hope. But, again, I went to therapy for this, Pete, so please don't bring up any scars that, you know, remind me the past is real.
Yeah.
I just pulled that up.
I just thought that was very, very, very interesting. All right, let's jump into the wrap up. First topic, I changed the Twitter handle. It's now Nets Fans You Know. I thought it was a lot more easier to remember, a lot more catchy. Our old one, people were getting us confused with Sam. Sam is the only Nets fan on Twitter. He's an OG Nets fan. Lots of followers, great guy. I've talked to him in politics with him a little bit. And it was just getting annoying. People would tag him for our podcast. And obviously he had it first, but I never could get a name that I thought was really catchy enough or well enough. I just typed this in, Nets Fans You Know. Luckily it was available. In the past it was not available. So I'm very, very happy. We changed the logo up. We changed the Twitter header. We made some changes on the IG. Just trying to kind of upgrade everything and you know, be ready for the new season. I thought it was
okay.
Well needed.
Okay, Beyonce. Upgrade, gonna get an upgrade.
No. We're gonna be launching a YouTube page soon. Hopefully this episode will be on the YouTube page. That's something for you guys to look out for.
Let me say the YouTube page looks pretty primo, guys. I already saw it. I got a little sneak peek of it. You guys are going to be happy about it. It's going to be huge. Going to be the biggest YouTube page we've seen this year. Mark my words. Huge.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be the biggest thing, but I definitely have put a lot of time and work into it. So I hope you guys enjoy it.
I enjoy it, if that makes any matter any better.
All right. You wanted to talk about this topic. I felt like people kind of already knew about this, but since she's new, I guess we should give her introduction.
So replacing Michael Grady's Megan Triplett. That's it.
I believe she worked with the Grizzlies before this. So she has experience, you know, with the NBA. She seems very insightful, very nice. And we'll see. I was a big Grady guy. So I'm a little disappointed. I like Grady a lot. Yeah, I wasn't happy that he left, but obviously I'm happy for him. He's moving on to the Timberwolves. He's going to be calling games. So, you know, when the guy's talented, of course people are going to want him. So congrats to Grady and welcome Megan Triplett.
Also, I want to also talk about on the injury front. Nets got a few guys out still. TJ Warren looks to be a few weeks away from basketball activity. Seth Curry is close to being back, supposedly. He's a few practices away from getting into game shape and seeing some court time. It's going to be nice to have him and Joe Harris kind of like splitting minutes, you know, splitting shooting minutes, you know what I mean? It's going to both give them a nice, you know, easy way to get back to full game shape, you know, and it's going to give the team a 3-point boost in both aspects of their games. So it's going to be nice.
Did you see the Joe Harris quote from Christian Winfield from the Daily News? I thought that was very telling.
Oh, man, got me a little nervous.
He said, I'm hoping to be back pretty soon. This was before the Toronto game. But this is where it gets a little weird to me. But even when I am, referring to him being back, I'll still be at a little bit of a limited capacity. Does that mean that means obviously he's not 100% healthy? This limited capacity, if the guy can't play, you know, I don't want him chucking up threes just for him to chuck up threes. I want him to get healthy. This injury, like, I don't, this is a little scary. Like, is he ruined? It's a little early to say, but
I think he hasn't seen a game of basketball in almost a year, and I don't think he's ruined. I just think you got to kind of slowly get him back, because an ankle's an injury you can really aggravate again and again, and it also, you can, you know, when you have an injured ankle, you tend to favor your other side too, and that's another, because you get a little gun shy on pushing the other side, and then you kind of rely on the other, you know, so you got to always like make sure his body is also ready to go back and his mind is also ready to go back. So I think Joe will be ready. I think Joe will be good. He's a gamer.
I hope so.
You know what makes me happy though, Pete? Other than the fact that we beat a good Raptors team.
What?
Philadelphia Sixers are 0-3, and James Harden's look kind of shitty.
Very, very interesting that they started 0-3. Their last loss against the tanking / rebuilding San Antonio Spurs and Tankathon had, I thought it was funny, they had a picture of us holding the number one pick.
Are you a French superstar? Yeah. French guy, Victor Wembanyama. He looks pretty awesome. I'll take him.
Yeah, we aren't going to get the first overall pick, but it is funny. Imagine if Philadelphia does fall into the lotto, though. That
oh
would
my God.
Make the Harden deal look, oh, my God. That would be a steal for us. It's not going to happen, but.
No way. I'd be imagine, so happy, though, man.
As you said, one can dream.
Oh, man. Anything else you want to add to that?
Nope. We're going to get to our predictions for the season. You go ahead first. What do you think?
That's a long wrap-up. Shit.
Yep.
My prediction. The Nets go 52-30, and they become second in the East, and they ended up winning the Eastern Conference Finals, and then they go to the Finals, and they lose in the Finals. I think this is the year we make the hump over out of the Eastern Conference, but I think something happens and some sort of adversity stops us from winning the title.
I'm going to say 48-24. And the reason why I say that was that was the record a couple of years ago when we were facing the Bucks. I also think we're going to go second in the East. And I think we'll be the Eastern Conference champions, but fall in the finals, maybe to Golden State.
Golden State. Maybe Denver. I think Denver's a shot. The Clippers can be in the discussion for that too. So Clippers look real good. I don't know who. And the Grizzlies. Don't sleep on the Grizzlies, man. John Morant looks like he's gonna be an MVP this year.
I hate him. I don't like him. He's very good, but I don't like him.
You're gonna have to face him tomorrow, right? Aren't we going to Memphis tomorrow?
Yep.
Not us, not me and you. I wish we were, but. Nets are, and they're probably going to get smoked.
Anything else you want to add on?
Follow us on our new Twitter. Just want to remind everyone it's the new Twitter, at NetsFansYouKnow. And don't forget the Instagram now that Pete took over that I totally dropped the ball on, the Only Nets Fans You Know.
Only Nets Fans You Know on the Instagram from Charlie is still doing. Thank you guys for listening. Stay safe. Have a great day. Have a great night. Have a great commute. Enjoy your weekend. We got a game coming up against John Morant and the Grizzlies. Check out our YouTube. And we're out.
Pete, when do you think Ben Simmons hits his first jump shot this year? You think it's this month, next month? What month are you putting it in?
Who knows?
I'm going to put December.